Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Monday Night Live. That's Monday Night Live, a.k.a. The Learning Center, a.k.a. Monday Night Raw. Here we get together every Monday night, and we battle it out. And I don't mean battle in a bad way. I mean we battle out those questions, those things that we are unsure about. We place them before God, and then we knock them down with those godly answers. So, again, I want to invite all of you all to be interactive with us. Star 5 is the way to get through on the line for anything that you want to share. If you choose to join us on the live feed, we are going to go live just shortly. Mr. Carr will prompt you when you're able to join on the live feed. But however you are interacting with us tonight, make sure you do that. With that being said, let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tullius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Candy.
How are you tonight, sir?
Doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I am as well, sir.
Good deal, good deal. So I do look forward to this call, our Monday Night Live, y'all. We will be going live on Facebook Live here shortly. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and open up with prayer, Miss Candy, and we'll get the call going.
All righty. Father, we thank you for this call tonight, Lord. We thank you for your hand of protection that was on us all throughout our day, Lord. And right now, as we go into this call, we pray that each and every person on the line is going into it with an open heart and open mind, fully ready and receptive to receive your word, Lord. We pray right now over every speaker that each and every word that comes out of the mouth tonight, Lord, is one that is in line with you, Lord. We pray right now that you will speak through them, Lord. Give them the word that you have for tonight, Lord. Don't let anything be of them, but, Lord, let it only be of you. And we pray also for the spirit of boldness for our speakers, Lord, for those people who are listening on the line, for those people that we're going to encounter on social media, to be able to boldly put those questions out there, Lord, so that you can meet them at the point of their need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So y'all know this whole week we have been talking about, okay, turbulence. It does not always mean trouble.
Yes, sir.
Turbulence does not always mean trouble. Every shift in your life, every, you know, barrier in your life, obstacle, every uneven, unleveled surface does not mean trouble. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And even if trouble does come your way, it has to serve for a purpose.
Amen.
So, with that being said, let us go ahead and get started. Now, I know Ms. Tiana is going to be hosting the call tonight. And then Mr. DJ, is Mr. DJ there?
He is not quite yet, sir.
Right, well, not a problem. Ms. Tiana, go ahead and give us a little weekend review from your perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely fabulous week. Turbulence does not always mean trouble. I truly appreciated us kicking off on Wednesday, getting my days of the week mixed up. Just talking about it not always meaning trouble and how in and through whatever circumstances we're going through, there's a purpose for it. And there's something that God is looking to come out and through any of those situations. It's for us to realize too that we can always look to him and know that he's not going to give us anything more than we can handle. I took away from this week one particular scripture that has spoke loudly to me, which was actually Isaiah 46:4, which says, I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Until your hair is white with age, I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. So the trouble and turbulence, The turbulence that occurs does not always mean that something bad is going to happen. What it does, what it opens up for is a space, a room there for God to really shine through and highlight for us the purpose if we're willing to see it. And then yesterday, when we really got into, okay, well, there are times of trouble, being able to talk through what that even looks like, because trouble does come. But even when trouble comes, we all know God tells us that joy comes in the morning. But in that trouble, let us own it and understand it, as well as know that we can once again say, but God's got it under control. And for me, that was a huge, huge soul soul searching, because I'm one of those folks who doesn't necessarily raise their hand in time of trouble. And it was just an awakening for me to be like, you know what? I gotta own those times, and it's okay to share, and especially to go to the sisters and brothers in Christ and say, hey, this is what's going on. I know God's got it, but I need to just share this with you so that we're walking and talking together and praying then once again in agreement. So turbulence does not always mean trouble. It's just been a fascinating and amazing topic across the board.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Ms. Tiana, for sharing. Now, Ms. Candy, real quick we get started, what about you? What pointers have you taken away this week on this topic?
Well, just having to really look at it from the standpoint of the different things that happen in our life are not bad at all. And I talked a lot about the airplane this week because I promise you all, I fly a lot. And so I actually went and did a whole lot of studying about the pilots and the actual natural turbulence in the air. And I was fascinated by that. And then just how easily it relates to our own lives. Like, for example, the point about how the plane can withstand going straight through the turbulence because it was built for that. And that was something that really struck home with me, because a lot of times we say, I can't take it, or I can't deal with another thing, or God, why are you putting all of this on me? Why is all this stuff in my path? But he has already built us. He has already equipped us for the turbulence that we are going to face. But we have to have that right mindset, and just being able to be reminded that we're built for this. It's not like we're going to break. We just have to rely on him. It's not about what I can do in my own power, but knowing that he's the pilot. He's the one who ultimately has control all of it. That has been so helpful this week. And just that perspective that we get when you really, really think about, okay, turbulence doesn't always have to mean trouble. It was reassuring for me in the natural sense as well as in the spiritual sense. Mr. Carr?
Okay. I do hope that everyone has gathered some type of info, and then those who have even called in this whole week, y'all. Now, this is a beautiful thing, and I love, you know, how God delivers these topics right to our doorstep. Right to our doorstep. If you just stop being religious for a second and really just develop a relationship with God, you'll see that the complexities are not as great as you think. Turbulence is not always trouble as you may perceive it to be. If you just really just rely on God and just relax in the spirit, I promise you, you'll start to look at things from a whole different perspective. Everybody with me out there?
Amen. Yes.
It's very important that we understand those things. So let me go ahead, if y'all want to go ahead and hop on Facebook Live, let me go ahead and get ready to hop on there. Let me see where we're at.
And Mr. Carr, Mr. DJ has joined us, if you want, while we're waiting to go live.
Hey, then get on, Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, how are you this evening?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we sure can.
Okay, I'm doing well. How about yourself? We experienced
doing
a little turbulence over here.
Real quickly, why don't you give us a little take on, you know, your weekend review for this topic?
My weekend review is, turbulence, it's kind of like how you handle it. It's coming. But the question is, are you going to be prepared for it? You can handle it the correct way or the incorrect way, which is your way. You know, sometimes God put things in our path for a reason. Sometimes it's a lesson in humbleness. Sometimes it's actually to bless you. Sometimes it's to test you. But it's how you handle it. If you steer your way, curse God, fuss at God, he's not going to fight with you. He's going to let you do it your way. And it's going to be totally opposite of what he had in store for you. I mentioned we having turbulence here now. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I've been without power since 2:30. But I could have sat there and cried and been like, oh, man, you know. But instead, I have a generator. It's a little small generator, little tailgate generator, but I just remembered I had a gallon of gas, and that lasts 5 hours. So I pulled the gas in the generator, was able to charge up my phone. I'm sitting here talking to you guys in the dark, but I'm also eating well. I have a roof over my head. I'm dry. I don't need to go anywhere, but just wait. Wait till the turbulence passes, and then we're good.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. Y'all help me out right quick. I'm trying to find this new Facebook thing with this live. I can't find live on here.
You're on the computer?
Yes, I am.
I see it up top, yes, on that homepage. Write a post, photo, video, live video.
I'm not seeing what is going on. Let's see. I'm going
to try going to your page directly. Go to your specific page, and you should see it under the write a post option. Live video is still an option there.
It's not an option on mine for some reason.
I'm not sure. I don't. Maybe you have an update that I don't have. I don't have an update at all right now.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started with some of the call. I'm not understanding what is going on.
If there is anyone out there on the line who knows the Facebook Live conundrum, please press star 5 and give us a quick heads up on how to get this solved.
Mr. Clark, can you go to write a post and see if right above it, where it says post, photo, video, live video?
Mine knows it says live event.
But missing live video. Okay. Then I am not sure, sir.
Yes, status, photo, and then life event.
It shouldn't say status. That's an older version. You can try logging out right quick and go back in and see if that will help.
Hold on. One second.
In the meantime, in between time, one of the things that Mr. DJ shared with us last night about turbulence, we actually talked about it this morning for Monday morning prayer, and that was simply that turbulence is a pause in what we expect to happen. And that was truly, truly, Mr. DJ said it, I wrote it down, we stole it for prayer this morning. It's one of those things that truly, when you think about it, just simply being a pause, because it's our plan that we're thinking about. We're thinking about what we want to do. We want this smooth sailing life. But God says, guess what? I had a different plan to begin with. And so we might feel uncomfortable when different things happen, but truly it's not about how we feel about it. It's just knowing and remembering that God had a plan that's not necessarily the plan that we decided that we wanted for ourselves. So when these different things happen, we can experience it as turbulence if we would like, or we can just simply think of it, as Mr. DJ said, a pause in what we expect to happen, and then flip mm-hmm. our mindset back to, guess what? God is still in control, and what he wants to happen is way more important than my expectations anyway. So thank you, Mr. DJ.
can we add to that? Could it be a pause and a redirection?
All right.
And the reason I say that is because, especially if the turbulence is a pause in our life and what we wanted, more than likely what we wanted, as you were just saying, is not part of God's plan. So we may have to take a redirection, like on the road where it says, okay, we've got to, there's some construction going on, and we're going to do a little detour before we even come back to the route that we were headed. So just something to throw out there is pause and a redirect to get us back on the right path.
Yes, ma'am. And it's tell you, it's just one of those things. I do have a hand raised. Let's see if this caller has a solution to the Facebook conundrum. Good evening, caller.
Hello, good evening. I may have a solution. I was going to suggest clicking on, so underneath the profile pic, there should be your name, and underneath your name, you should see, or you may see the word post, update info, activity log, and also more. So if you click on post, then you have the option of live video, check-in, tag people, so on and so forth. I don't know if that helps.
We certainly thank you for your efforts.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Shabri has helped me out with it. I wasn't on my page yet.
All righty.
So let's see if we have this correct.
The technology is great.
And
for those moments that it
stops. Yep. Well, that's all right. Terminus does not always mean trouble.
You
got redirected tonight.
What Facebook has done is it has taken liberty to do something different. It has updated some things. So, all right. So we're good to go now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's get to it right quick. Turbulence does not always mean trouble. So we have some email questions that we want to get answered, and we definitely want everybody to join in and, you know, don't be such a stranger. Make sure that you're, you know, engaging in conversation. All right, let's get to the first email question, Ms. Candy.
Certainly, sir. First question, I understand God sending us wake-up calls when we are off task. But why do we face trouble when we are sincerely following him?
Okay. Good question. Can you repeat that for everyone real quickly, please?
I understand God sending us wake-up calls when we are off task, but why do we face trouble when we are sincerely following him?
Okay, Mr. DJ, what you got? All right, Ms. Tiana, let's move on. What we got, you know,
yeah,
with that question, Ms. Tiana?
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hello?
Yes, sir.
We can hear you, Mr.
Okay.
DJ.
Okay, yeah, sorry about that. Like I said, we're going through a midst of a little turbulence here, too. Why do we experience turbulence if we're sincerely following him? God is our Father, and he is our leader. If you get complacent with just following him, then you will never need to help someone else. He may need for you to inspire someone. When we get comfortable with things going our way all the time, then eventually we pull away from them. You know, it's like a little baby who you're trying to teach how to walk. So when you're walking with that little baby, it's all fine. They're holding on to your hand, but sooner or later they're gonna be pulling away from you. Like, I got it. So that's why for him to lead us and also to feed us so that we can grow spiritually.
All right, Ms. Candy, can you repeat that question real quickly again?
I understand God sending us wake up calls when we are off task, but why do we face trouble when we are sincerely following him?
Okay, for one, we can never stop following God, ever, ever, ever. If you ever stop following God and decide to go and try and help someone, you will experience something called a fall.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go help someone with, what are you helping with someone with? You have the power to help someone?
Sir, only God does.
Okay, so I don't agree with what Mr. DJ just said, because You can never get complacent with following God. Following God is the key to everything in life. If you do something, the Bible says you can have faith that moves mountains and have not love and you have done nothing. In other words, as soon as you depart or take your hands out of God's hand and stop following him, you're in trouble. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, the way we move is based on how God has already laid our path. So if you don't follow that path, you're about to get in trouble.
That's right.
That's
right. Can I clarify, Mr. Carr?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that. What I'm saying, the question was, why do we experience turbulence if we are sincerely following him? And what I was saying is that, yes, we do follow him, but we also have to be obedient. We must be obedient because if we are not obedient, we're going to start doing things our way. Which is
right, but you do understand. Look at this topic. Turbulence does not always mean trouble.
Correct.
Understand
Correct.
When you say the word but, that means it's a contradiction. So you say I understand, but there's no but to following God.
No, there's no but to following God. What I'm saying is that if we are continually to follow him and he doesn't send us tests, then we will never have a testimony.
But see, here's the thing. Listen what you're saying. You're saying if God does not send us tests, the Bible said by the testing of our faith. You understand that it ain't no if God sends tests, every day is a test. You understand?
Correct. Correct. What she's saying is why does he send the test? And that's what I was trying to explain is the reason why he sends the test. Of course, he's going to send us the test. But if she reads that question again, I believe she asks, why does he send the test?
Can you read that
like
question
again? Like if we're sincerely following him, why does he send the test?
Yes, sir. The question says, I understand God sending us wake-up calls when we are off task, but why do we face trouble when we are sincerely following him?
See,
correct.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You say, why do we face trouble? See, there again, the way, remember, our thoughts are not his thoughts, our ways are not his ways. What we view as trouble, God views as a blessing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This
Amen.
Is the reason why we have trouble praying for those who despitefully use us, because we look at them as troublemakers. But if you really look at this thing, now watch, y'all know we, in this flesh of ours, we jacked up. Now watch this. We view them as troublemakers. How do they view us? We view them as troublemakers, but to God, we'll say God knows our heart, but we cause the same amount of trouble that they did, but we don't view ourselves.
Amen.
It's all about perspective.
Come on.
Look at the question. Read it one more time, Ms. Candy, because I want all the people who are listening on Facebook Live to catch this. Can you read it?
I understand God sending us wake-up calls when we are off task. But why do we face trouble when we are sincerely following him?
See, here's the thing. Who am I talking to? Why do we face trouble? That very well may not be trouble. See, to a person who's already troubled, the Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to the corrupt, all things are corrupt. So I got to first see who's asking this question. Because somebody carnal, you can't get through to the carnal-minded. Because they're going to view everything as trouble.
Right.
Correct.
You understand? So to some people, like, you know, we ran track, okay? Running track, playing sports, whatever it may be. You may view it as, oh, Lord, what I did wrong that I got to run laps. No, it's called a warm-up. See, so when you're in Christ, you understand that you will have things that you have to face, but we don't view that as trouble. So when somebody say, why do I face trouble when I follow God, I know off top that somebody who's yet to mature in Christ.
Okay.
I know how to God who is yet to mature. So you got to handle them as a baby. Goo goo gaga. The reason why you face trouble is that because daddy want to get stronger. How about that?
Yes, sir.
Indeed.
The Bible clearly said it, y'all. Let me go ahead and simplify this answer. So you got to answer, you got to address things of God spiritually. The Bible clearly says, and y'all go ahead and share these things, okay? The Bible clearly says the master suffered surely the servant will. In other words, do you understand to suffer means to endure trouble? You're going to go through some stuff. So if the master suffered and you follow God, you're getting into, you're going to go through that same thing. Here's the thing. See, when you truly love someone, I don't think y'all hear me real good. When you truly love someone, no matter what they go through, you in it. If they losing, you losing. If they winning, you winning. If they going through hell, you going through hell. When you love someone, you're going to go, whatever they go through, I'm going through. So if I follow you and I go through trouble, it's because you went through trouble. So I'm good with that.
Mm.
Hello, somebody.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
All right. I see you out there, Ms. Monique. How you doing? All right, let's get to the next email question. What we got?
Certainly, sir. Next question says, is there a way to know if God sent the problem or if I've caused it for myself?
All righty.
Oh.
Oh, whoa. Mr. DJ, what you got?
Is there a way? Yes, there is a way. First of all, if you are mature, as we just stated, in Christ, you will definitely know whether or not you caused it. And most of the times, we do.
Okay.
If it's a problem, quote-unquote problem, most of the times, yes, we created it. If God sends us something, a task or some turbulence, it's for the betterment of yourself. You may not see it, but if you would kind of calm down and not look at it as a problem, mm-hmm. but an opportunity, then you can get through it.
I got you. All right, Mr.
Most of the time, if it's something that you created it, only thing you have to do is look back and say, most of the time we'll say, why did I do that? Or had I had done it this way, then I wouldn't be in this situation. That's how you know.
Okay. All right. We got people calling in. Miss Lisa, I see you. Miss Dory, I see I got your inbox. Okay. Miss Gwendolyn, I see y'all out there. Good. So check this out. The question was, can you repeat that question, Miss Candy?
Is there a way to know if God sent the problem or if I've caused it for myself?
Is there a way? Now, y'all do understand that the topic for tonight is turbulence does not always mean trouble. Is there a way to know, you know, when problems or troubles come our way, that we bring this on ourselves or did God send it? Is there a way? Miss Tiana, is there a way to know? As a matter of fact, hold on. Facebook Live, talk to me. Is there a way, when trouble come your way, how do you know if it's God sent or something that we did? Bring this about. Talk to me. I see you, Ms. Rhonda. Ms. Tiana, what you got to say?
Well, I'm mixed on this one. And the reason I'm mixed on it is if we've done something wrong, if it's a problem we've had, that's part of God's reset. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to test you in this. And I'm going to test you in this so that we can correct the situation right here, right now. Many a times I feel like I'm going back to the answer I had before, but many a times we are going down this path, this life that we have, and we're the ones most of the time causing our problems. We're making our own decisions and not following his path. So many a times it's us setting that problem, but then he's throwing a test in that situation for us to correct ourselves. If that makes sense. I feel that's the wrong word. It seems to me that it's almost the same. I don't know to tell necessarily the difference. I hear what Mr. DJ said. If I did the problem, I can correct it. I should figure out that I should be the one to correct it, et cetera. But there was a test in that situation that caused you to realize that there was a problem to begin with.
How you doing,
Ms.? I don't know if I'm making sense.
Ms. Crystal, I see you out there, Ms. Crystal Bird. Okay, so Ms. Sheena gave us scripture. She said Psalm 119:71, the NIV version. It says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Ms. Shabri said, that's Sheba D. She said 1 Peter 5:10, NIV. and the God of all grace, who called you to this eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Candy, you have to know God to know the difference, not just his name. Repeat that question for me, because I want everybody on Facebook Live to get this.
It says, is there a way to know if God sent a problem or if I've caused it for myself?
Is there a way to know that if God, did God send that problem that you're facing, that obstacle, that you're, that adversity that you're facing? Did he send it or did you bring about it on your own? Now, I love it. Trouble or turbulence doesn't always mean trouble. You know how many people in the Bible, when their kids were born with afflictions, couldn't see, no limbs, or couldn't speak, had, you know, they couldn't survive on their own. They had impediments. Do you understand that the world looked at them and say, what did their parents do? Y'all got to catch this.
Yes, sir.
I'm about to preach. I'm about to tell y'all something now. Remember, the Bible says some things will remain a mystery. Deuteronomy 29 and 29. Write it down. Deuteronomy 29 and 29. The Bible says, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. In other words, see, here's the thing. When you face adversity, when you face obstacles, when you face your wall, you see, just because you face troubles, I'm not so concerned about, you know, how it got there, whether God sent it or what I brought about it. My thing is I want change. Here's the thing. Some things, you understand, we don't know all our sin. So some sin, you know, that you bring that you didn't know you brought. Because to us, righteousness of man is like filthy rags unto God. To us, we think that we're doing okay. But to God, that's another story. You understand? Some things we bring on our life prematurely. In other words, some things we do bring on ourselves. And some things God puts before us. Here's the thing. Let me answer this twofold. One thing is, when you know you're doing right, get it right. Because then at that point, you know that, you know, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. To love the Lord does not mean I verbally say I love you. Women, men can say that all day. They don't mean they love you. Men, women can say, see, love is an action word. The Bible says if you love me, you will follow my commandments. You will
obey
me.
That's right, sir.
You understand? So when you obey God and trouble comes your way, why are you mad? You know that it's working together for your good. Ain't that something? Now,
amen.
When you don't obey God, now we tremble a little bit. Because turbulence that comes our way, now we're afraid of the outcome. God, what did I do? Something, again, you will never know that you brought on yourself. Sometimes we enter into marriages, relationships, jobs. Do you know that you chose the right job? How do you know that you chose the right job? If you ain't God, if you're not in God, how do you really know that?
Okay.
You don't really know that. We can play the guessing game all we want to now. Okay? The thing about it is, let's look at it this way. Let me help us out. Some things will remain a mystery. If I brought it on myself, if God put it before me, either way, you know what? Even if I brought it on myself, I'm going to stay deeply rooted in God. So some things you know that you brought on yourself. But see, here's the thing. Some things you Lord, I'm about to help somebody. Some things remain a mystery. Yeah, I do know that the Bible says he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. In other words, some things we deserve, God still withholds from us. We deserve to be punished. Some of us deserve to go to hell, and God withholds it. So when you say, did I bring it on myself, I challenge that theory. I challenge that theory because some people can do something far worse than what you've ever done in life, and God still blessing them. So it's not so much about if you deserved it or if you didn't, if you brought it on yourself or if you didn't. It's the mere fact that I face trouble, God, at this moment, right now, whether I brought it or you put it there, right now, I'm still going to reach down to my spirit man and get right before you. I'm going to strip myself of pride. I don't care how I got there, but I'm going to make sure that as I face my troubles every day, I'm going to strip off my armor, and I'm going to make myself bare and exposed to you. In other words, I'm going to be so transparent with you that you can be transparent with me, and you can give me the answers to go through my troubles. So it really don't matter how my troubles got here. I just know they're here, but I need you to address them.
Yes, sir.
See, we get caught up in the semantics, how they got there. Does it really matter that somebody, you know, in that movie Rush Hour, one of them kicked Chris Tucker, and he said, now, which one of y'all, it don't matter who kicked you, boy, you better start fighting.
Amen.
See, again, Satan is the author of confusion. We so fixated on, God, did I do something wrong? Or God, did you put? Won't you just face your trouble and say, trouble, let me tell you about my God, regardless of how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all really want to get a little deep. Ain't that something?
Go ahead.
All right. Let's go to the next email question. We got some people out there.
I do have a question from the live feed, sir.
What we got?
It says, during times of tribulation, is it wrong to question God as to why he is allowing or ordering the turbulence in our lives?
Ms. Tiana, during our times of tribulations, our trials, our tribulations, our troubles, is it wrong to question God?
To question him, you can ask God anything. He says to come to him at any time, but also in conversation, not question him like, why are you doing this to me? But question him what's going on and how can I change things? Have that conversation with him and so that you're in a place to receive, understand that you can leave it in his hands, but then be active in your faith in whatever you need to do going forward. But be from a conversation standpoint, not from an accusatory.
Come on, Miss Tiana. Look, y'all, I couldn't have said it better. When you're facing trials or tribulations, when you're facing troubles, is it right to question God? It's two different types of questions. Mr. DJ! Oh, Mr. DJ.
Yes, sir.
Hi,
yes,
Mr.
sir.
DJ, what you did last night? You was what you did?
I went to sleep.
Watch this. Hey, old Mr. DJ, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
And what did you do last night? What you did? Y'all see the two different variations in those questions?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I see you, Miss Rhonda. See, here's the thing. When things happen in your life, do you question God for clarity for clarity reasons like this? God, I don't know what's going on. You know, you reveal things to heal things. If you want me to know, Father God, I know that you're going to provide every provision that I need to conquer this thing. You know, mm-hmm. So you can ask God questions as to what direction should I approach this thing. Or when trials and tribulations come up, God, you questioning God because you're mad with God. Why did you do this to me, God? See, that's not the rank, that's not the same type of temperament we should have when we approach a sovereign God.
That's right.
Oh, no. It's okay to question you if it's done in love. Y'all know the difference. Where you been, baby? You looking mighty good. Where you been? Well, you, who? Or, where you been at? Huh? Who you wearing that for? Is that true?
Very different. Very different.
Is that not true, Miss Candy? Mr. DJ?
Yes, sir.
Anytime we face turbulence in our life, tribulations in our life, okay, you have the right to question God, but do understand as a child how to stay in your place.
Okay.
I'm going to say this again. You have the right to question Daddy God, but you better do it in a loving way. Because who are you to challenge a God who knows all? Who are we?
Amen.
Yes,
you see how pride gets us in our trouble? Just get us all in all. Who? That 2 years. See, us approaching God, we can't even factor this, but let me help us out. Us approaching God is like a little a 1 year old that can't even talk. Talking about, if you sit, you can't even walk. You better go sit, go crawl somewhere. That's like a baby questioning you.
Mm-hmm.
You provided the clothes. You provided the food. They came from you. They can't fend for themselves. They do not know right from wrong. They understand nothing about life. And they question you. Well, just imagine us questioning God. It ain't even that close.
All right.
You're going to approach your daddy. I'm talking about all-powerful daddy. You better approach daddy right. It's okay to question him, but make sure you're questioning him for direction. Make sure that it's filled with
Amen.
Emotional. Make sure that's the premise, okay? All right, let's get to it. Miss Katina, I see you out there. What we got?
Miss Sienna, did you have a question?
I do, right here. Got a question from a colleague who said, as a leader, one is in the position of always having to inspire others. How do leaders deal with turbulence?
Okay. Miss Camilla, Miss Kamala, well, how do you say that? Excuse me for butchering the name. Miss Hall Moore. She says, stay in your lane when it comes to how you question God. I agree. Repeat that question one more time, Miss Sienna, so everyone can hear you.
Sure. It states, as a leader, one is always in the position to having to inspire other people. But how does a leader deal with turbulence?
Wow. Leaders. Because leaders always given, you know, inspirational things, whether it be the lifestyle that people need to see. I'm talking about whether it be tangible items that they need. Okay, Miss Pamela. She says pronounce Pamela. Okay. I saw a K-A-M-A-L-A. So when leaders, all right, what's up, Honeycutt? I see my boy, Gerald. When leaders face turbulence, how do leaders handle turbulence, Mr. DJ? How should they handle it?
A leader, if he's truly a leader, should lead by example. You can't expect anyone to follow you if you don't know how to lead or don't know what you're doing in navigation. And in order to be a leader, you must be a good follower. I look at it like this. Christ set the example. God is the head, which makes him our leader. His job is to lead and feed. Ours is to follow and swallow.
Okay. Yeah, that's leadership. It's important. Okay. As leaders, do y'all think that leaders don't face turbulence? Y'all think that?
Oh, yes.
They do face it.
Probably
more. All the time.
Tired of. Oh, okay. She said, no, it's not. Oh, it's Pamela. Kamala.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Like Pamela.
Leaders face a lot of turbulence. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is
required.
Jesus not only, look at the perfect leader. Let's take the spotlight off us and put it on God. Jesus faced more turbulence than what we ever know. Watch this. Jesus faced turbulence not just with the world, but Jesus faced turbulence in the 12 that he chose. See, we just think that he had trouble with Judas. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Because 12 disciples was, and they wasn't right. Y'all, they had a messed up past, and they still was messed up when they was around Jesus Christ. Y'all know that?
Yes, indeed. Yes, sir.
But every leader that you see, a strong leader will always face trouble, turbulence in their life. Namely, it's not just from the outward, it's from the infrastructure. Don't you know in order to properly lead, it has to start where? At home. In other words, that you see on the outside that scales the high sky, the skyscrapers, you see the outward appearance. But do you understand the great leader on the inside? Faces turbulence.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, I see indeed. You, Miss Geneva. How you doing? Y'all understand? So here's the thing. Y'all listen to the question. Repeat that question for me, please, one more time so I can help everybody out.
The question says, as a leader, one in that position is always having to inspire others. How does the leader deal with turbulence?
So for someone who always has to inspire others, how does a leader deal with turbulence? Let me show you the best answer that you can ever possibly have. Look at Jesus Christ, perfection in the flesh. Jesus was God wrapped in flesh. How did he handle turbulence? Lord have mercy. I need y'all to hear me. As a leader, the way that you handle turbulence, you have to show yourself just as vulnerable as your peers. Lord have mercy.
Come on.
I'm about to help somebody out right here. Parents, we can't be leaders with our children. Fathers, I don't care how strong you are, and you can't cry in front of your son. See, the fact of the matter is, your son's going to grow up with a hard shell that he should, Lord have mercy, he should never cry. See, vulnerability shows that I'm not perfect, but I have the perfect answer.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Hear me? Y'all don't want to hear me? How does leaders lead? Jesus Christ, Lord have mercy, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Holy Spirit left him. He became more like flesh like us than ever before. That is the only time he started to challenge God. Y'all better hear me. Watch this. Watch this, Miss Katina. Jesus said, Father, will you pass the cup from me? In other words, in his most vulnerable time, his most vulnerable state, he is a leader, not of just his 12. He's a leader of the world. And what do you say when you... He was vulnerable. In other words, I'm flesh like they flesh. But that leader got his mind together. He said, but let thy will be done. Y'all don't hear me. When did Jesus experience pain? Lord, have mercy.
Come on.
Come on. Hello, somebody. When did the perfect leader act like he didn't experience pain? When we say lead by example, stop leading by lies. See, the example cannot be a lie as if men, you never make mistakes. Women, as if you never make mistakes. And that's not the example that God is talking about. You have to show to your kids, you have to say, baby, as a leader, mama apologizes, daddy apologizes. I was wrong. See, we can't even do that. You know why? Because this word called P-R-I-D-E, pride, gets in the way of us being an effective godly leader. I'm going to wait on that.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to wait on it. Uh-huh. I'm going to wait on that, y'all. See, as a leader, when you show that you're vulnerable, but even in your vulnerability, you show how you still stand in God. See, leaders got to show that I go through exactly what you go through. I put my underwear one leg at a time just like you do. I make mistakes too, but this is how I bounce back from it. Huh? Come on, Ms. Geneva. She said, admit it and quit it. This is how I bounce back. So how I handle my turbulence is how you should handle yours. In other words, I am not exempt from turbulence. Now, as leaders, we got to show that when we face it, who we give it to.
Come on.
See, a lot of times when we deal with turbulence, people, trouble, we want to give it to God, meaning God, Calgon, take this pain away. In other words, we want it to go away. But God will keep you right in the midst of your storm because he needs you to be the example. He needs you to be the anchor. In other words, if you are unmovable during your times of tribulations and troubles, then the people who are looking at you, looking at God through you, they're going to be unmovable. Won't you lead by example? In other words, stop running from your troubles and face them head on and use the word of God when you face them. Come on, David. Run from Goliath. He ran to Goliath. We got too many people running away from their Goliath because it's called trouble.
Okay. Yes, indeed.
Forward, let's move forward. Let's move forward. What we got?
Okay.
I do have another question.
Okay.
What you have, Miss
Tian?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. The other question that I had was there's a group that is facing quite a bit of turbulence on their team. In the last 6 months, the people who were a part of their team for a year went on to other positions, and they got two new people. Within the last 2 weeks, those two people are no longer with the team. How does a leader in that situation keep the team members who have stuck around inspired?
That's a long question. Hold on. Let's break this thing down, Mr. DJ, because I got about three different books on that one.
Hold on. This one also came from another colleague.
That came from a colleague. What her name is, Tiana?
Hey. No,
okay.
It's not.
I am let's go through that piece by piece. What you said?
Sure. So there's a team that has, it's a team of four. In the last 6 months, the leader, I'll get in more details, the leader and the receptionist went on to other positions. So that left those openings. Those openings were replaced with new people. But in the last 2 weeks, those two people have departed, and now the team is back to the original two. How do you keep those two inspired, being the turbulence of people in and out of their team, where they're constantly in another storming phase?
Okay, so with a constant revolving door, in other words, Mr. DJ,
yes,
keep the people who remain inspired.
Well, I thought I heard you say the leader and the receptionist left?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those two people definitely need to hold fast to God and pray about it. Two, they need to definitely communicate with each other and see what is the problem, what is the root of the problem. If you're getting ready to have another person come in, why did the leader leave? You know, let's break that down and find out what happened. Was it salary? Was it, you know, you need to find out what's going on. And the same thing with the receptionist. Even if no one comes in, one is going to have to play one role and the other is going to have to play the other role until they can get somebody in there who will be acclimated to what they're doing. That's the only way I can see them being successful.
And I want to piggyback with what Mr. DJ just said. I mean, just because people come and go a revolving door, okay, that doesn't mean that you need inspiration to stay on the course of what God has for you. See, if we keep, all right, Mr. Geneva, keep on pushing. If we just focus on what God, see, the Bible says do not covet. Y'all know what the word covet means, C-O-B-E-T? Can
yes,
somebody
sir.
Look that up
yes.
real quick? What does covet
lust
mean?
After.
Huh?
Lust after, looking at what's green on the other side.
Right. Do not covet your neighbor's house. In other words, it doesn't mean just a physical house. It means anything outside of the body that God has given you. We start to look at why they lost their job, why they didn't come over here, and we let public opinion persuade us.
Yeah.
We say because they didn't make it, turbulence and trouble. I need inspiration. Why you need inspiration when God perhaps closed the door that that's not the job for them, but it is for you?
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Does it really matter?
And Mr. Parr, it's like that with many of us on jobs now. Some of us been on secure jobs, and I know you can say I done seen them come and go many years, but you're still there.
Go a step further, Mr. DJ. I'm gonna go a step further. It's not just like that in jobs. It's come on, Facebook Live. Can y'all can see me? See me good? Facebook Live. We like that when it comes to people. You would not befriend, a lot of us would not befriend people based on the lack of their popularity. In other words, when other people don't like them, you skeptical. But when other people love them, you get closer. See, we base our friendship, a lot of our friendships, a lot of what we do in this life based on the turbulence that surrounds it.
Come on.
Yes.
In the case, a lot of us shouldn't be friends with Jesus because he got a lot of trouble surrounding him because a lot of people scandalize his name. As a matter of fact, a lot of people say they love him and really don't.
That's right.
Hello, somebody.
Yes.
Did Nicodemus go to him by night?
All right, come on.
I mean, he called him master and all of that good stuff, but why did he go at night?
Didn't want to be seen with him. You know what?
But
y'all, we base a lot of things, not just job situations, but we base our friendships based on if the person that we deal with is likable or not. I'm not talking about how we like them. I'm talking about how others perceive them. Hello.
Right.
Amen.
Hello. Y'all know we brag on stuff that everybody loves, but the things that you love that they might not, you keep on a shh, hush, hush.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want no trouble, Master. Ain't that something?
It is.
All right. Kamala. You know I'm going to call you Kamala. You say everybody's is not what you perceive them to be. And you're absolutely right, Miss Kamala. You're absolutely right. Everybody is not what we perceive them to be. So stop thinking that everybody is always trouble. That might not be the case. And even if they are trouble, God sees that we're trouble, but he still got on that cross for old troublesome us. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right, Miss Andrea Brown. Boy, Miss Andrea Brown, she done did the Lazarus on us. She done rose. You can laugh at that. Yeah, let's get to the next emailer. Miss Latonya had
it.
And Miss Latonya, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm going to go to her on the line. Miss Latonya,
okay.
Can you share your question with us, please?
Yes. Okay, so the question is, I always hear my pastor say that God will use us in our circumstances to be a blessing to others. Well, I'm curious. Why does he choose for us to experience the trouble versus allowing them to go through their own turbulent times?
Can you repeat that question?
Yes, sir. I always hear my pastor say that God will use us in our circumstances to be a blessing to others. Well, I'm curious. Why does he choose for us to experience the trouble versus allowing them to go through their own turbulent times?
All righty. Mr. DJ.
I would say to show them that it can be done. That's the same way Christ did here. I mean, we could all just perish and go to hell. And, you know, but he got up there on that cross, as Mr. Carr just stated, for you, for me, not just for us, for the just and the unjust, to let you know it can be done. You know, he came to save us. So, in other words, instead of isolating them and just let them burn and perish, they need to be able to see that, yes, these same people who serve him can sustain some of the same things that you all are doing, and you can come over to the other side.
All right.
So lead by example, you know.
I see my brother out there, RL. What's going on, man? That's my brother. Not as in brother, brother. That's my blood brother. That's my brother. That's my boy. All right. So repeat that question one more time. Let me chime in. How you doing, Miss Stephanie? Repeat that question for me.
Yes, sir. I always hear my pastor say that God will use us in our circumstances to be a blessing to others. Well, I'm curious. Why does he choose for us to experience the trouble versus allowing them to go through their own turbulent times?
Oh, y'all know that's a person who's selfish. In other words, you go through your own trouble. But why? Had to send a sacrificial lamb. His name was, it started with a J. Come on, help me out, somebody. His name, the second letter was an E. Oh, it was Jesus. As a matter of fact, his son for us, because we couldn't handle our own trouble. In other words, no matter what sacrifice that we gave to God, no matter what we offered God, wasn't good enough. In other words, y'all know how your mama give you the money to go buy them their own gift? God gave, look what he did. He sent his own self to be a sacrificial lamb for us because we weren't able to handle our own troubles. So the person who asked that question, let me help us out right quick. The reason why God allows you to be a barricade, to be a blockade, to stop them. See, sometimes people need somebody else to go through the troubles prior to them because they're not there yet. Remember, the Bible says he will meet you right where you are. So the people who can't handle all the trouble, you have to absorb some of it. It is called a C-H-I-L-D, a child. They can't absorb what the parents should know better from. So why are you getting mad because God put you in such a high position of high regard, of being revered, that you go through and you absorb like a sponge all that they can't? What's the problem?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Come on.
What's the problem, people? Because truth be told, all right, Ms. Rhonda, I see you. Truth be told, E40, there go my boy. Truth be told, we can't handle all of our troubles. That's why the Bible said, look at what the Bible says. Place all your cares upon who?
On him.
Upon the Lord. Y'all, come on. Let's say this again. Place all your cares upon who?
The Lord.
The Lord.
Huh? He is a burden bearer.
That's right.
Y'all know what burdens are? Burdens are troubles, turbulence. Place all your cares. That means everything that troubles you, that is heavy laden. All the heavy laden come to the, in other words, God wants to take your burdens, all your troubles, everything that you can't handle. He said, give them to me. I'm going to make your load light. Therefore, to whom much is given, much is acquired. The more God you have, the more troubles you are going to bear. The Bible says love bears all things. In other words, you say you represent love, you better get ready to carry a lot of troubles on your back. How about that?
Come on. All right. Yes, sir.
And why are you complaining? Because if you complain, then do you really have love in you? You can't have complaint and love in the same body. Hello.
Yes.
Because we carnal Christians. Y'all know what carnal Christians are, huh? Go look it up. That means when we talk that talk, we don't walk that walk. We talk a good game about God, but the lifestyle is too hard for us to be genuine about it. In other words, we're living in front of people, but behind closed doors. That ain't us.
Still at the club.
Come on. All right, well, we got a... Ms. Latonya, you had another email question real quick?
Yes, sir. I do have another question, and the question is, I have been going through a lot in this season of my life. Financial turbulence, evicted from my home, loss of my mother, and having health issues. What determines the length of time that I am to endure these hardships?
The only one thing that determines the length of time you should endure, and that's Christ himself. That's through God. Look at Job. Job went through much worse, and he endured it. I mean, you don't ever lose your faith or put a time limit on God, nor on suffering as well as success.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to give you more than you can handle. So the fact that these things are coming to you, and no matter what length of time it is, it really doesn't matter. He's building you up for something good. Joy cometh in the morning, and that's something we got to constantly remember. When that morning is, we don't have a measurement of time like God has a measurement of time. So we just have to trust and believe in He will. He is the answer to what that time is, and He's the one who will see it through.
I want y'all to understand this, and those are great answers. Here's the thing. Everything does not have to be about you. It's not about you. Remember, the Bible says this I live is not my own. Stop saying that God is building you up for better in you. God can actually be taking things away from you, depriving from you, so it can be the betterment of somebody else. See, this is what we don't like to hear, but let's get the truth, the real living word. How I know this to be true? You tell me what we have that Jesus, we have cars, we have houses, we have clothing. The Bible said he didn't even have a place to lay his head. He didn't have the Tempur-Pedic mattress that we have.
Come on.
So that we can have more. When you love somebody, you don't mind. See, when you love your children, fellas, when you love that woman, you are going to have the old beat-down car. E40, you know what I'm talking about. The little car that sputter a little bit, don't have no real alarm, but we say, choo-choo, when we press the thing to make. Okay, we'll have that little smoky car from Friday, but we'll make sure our woman have everything she needs. When you love someone, you don't mind having deprived things in your life to make sure that they have better. I ain't talking about just your children. I'm talking about people who God sent your way.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all really want to go there now. Now, if y'all want a watered-down version, I don't know what to tell you. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Geneva, don't be laughing at that smoky car. Y'all know people be, choo-choo. Don't have no alarm, they miss the DJ. We make them noise.
Had to know it.
All right, y'all, let's get to it. So, turbulence does not always mean trouble. I want to give us some useful tips, okay, that we can write these down. Now, I know everybody watching on Facebook Live, but I know we studious out there, right? So if y'all next to y'all computer or get a pen and paper real quickly, we're going to take some notes right quick, real quickly. Not going to be long notes, but some things that's going to help us out. Okay. Y'all ready? Okay. Turbulence does not always mean trouble. So when we talk about troubles, we're talking about problems. We can look at it difficulties, obstacles, or adversity, right? Y'all with me on
right.
that? Okay. What good can come out of our troubles? What good can come out of our troubles? Write that down. What good can come out of our troubles? Three things. Number one, troubles or problems literally test our faith. Problems, troubles test our faith, Miss Andrea. Write down Genesis 12 and 10 and go back and read that later. Okay? Number two, what good can come out of troubles? Number two, troubles open up opportunities for service. For every problem, E40, that you've had in your life, it has been an opportunity for service. Write down Philippians 1 and 12. Again, that's Philippians 1 and 12. Let me read Philippians 1 and 12, E40, just so you can get hit it, everybody. Philippians 1 and 12 says, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Everything. What good can come out of troubles? Number three, write it down. Troubles may be confirmation that we are living for Christ.
Amen.
I know y'all like this. Y'all know y'all gonna like that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living for God because I don't have nothing but trouble around me. That's it. I must be keeping God. I'm a part of his rib, huh? Ain't that something?
It is.
Y'all got it? Write down 2 Thessalonians 1 and 5. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 1 and 5. You can't spell Thessalonians, just write out T-H-E-S. Get the rest later. It's the only Bible with T-H-E-S in it like that. That's the only book in there. Y'all got me? Y'all know I like to have fun, yeah. But it's a time to be serious, but, you know, we can still find humor in God where it does not distract us from what we're doing in God. All right? Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, here's another one. Y'all write these down. And this is very important. And we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these. 5 of these. Get ready. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I got 4 of them. All right. How does God want us to respond to our problems? How does God want us to respond to our troubles? Write them down. I know y'all there. Write this down. How does God want us to respond to our problems? Number one, we must realize that troubles are inevitable. In other words, the more you follow God, it's inevitable that you will encounter something called trouble.
Tell the truth.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Because, see, people in the world say, you know, I don't like a good at two shoes. Well, people view you as good, and they want to do something to kind of shake you. Trouble is going to come your way, not necessarily through people. Sometimes, through your own thinking. All right. Okay, that was number one. Write down James 1, 2 through 4 for that one. Number two, write these down now. How does God want us to respond to trouble? Number two, expect to grow as a result of your troubles. Expect to grow. You know how people say, oh, I don't expect nothing from people. Well, I expect to grow. See, troubles, pain, obstacles. When I go to the gym, I expect to grow from my, you know, grunting and my sweating and my, you know, I'm aching. And, oh, I expect to grow. I don't expect to stay the same. See, when you go through troubles in life, as long as you and God, expect to grow from that. In other words, the world will say, learn from your mistakes. But this ain't no mistake. Just learn from troubles that God put in your path. How about that? Grow from it. Number two, expect to grow from your troubles. Number three. How does God want us to respond to our troubles? Number three, Mr. DJ, it says, trust God for that means to solve the problem. Trust God for the means to solve your problems, people. Trust God means to solve your problems, people. Anything that you're facing in life right now, please don't take this as petty and minute and get excited while we're on live, but then when we get off live, we just go back to living our old way. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That's not gender. In other words, when you trust God for the means to solve your problems, you're looking for him for the answers. I don't know. You can ask me on a good day, and I may know it, then I may not. See, prophecy of the prophetic doesn't have anything to do when I hit the switch. It has everything to do when God delivers it to me. So I don't know. Miss Candy don't know. T.D. Jakes don't know. You got to trust God. In other words, see, I don't know about y'all, Mr. DJ, but when it comes to money, watch this, y'all. Listen to this. When it comes to money, we don't chase money. Money chases us. But in the same token, we're good stewards over our money. Okay? So when it comes to money, I don't like the middle person. Why do I have to call them to get that product when I can go to that person who has the product? Why do I have to call Miss Candy to get to Miss Tiana? Miss Candy is going to upcharge me. Why don't I just go straight to Miss Tiana? What I'm saying, y'all, listen to me. When we trust God to solve our problems, when we trust God for the means, for the answers to solve our problems, we'll stop running behind past all the time, and we'll start getting on the knees for the God we say we know. Up against your pastor, no. But see, if you think for 1 second your relationship or heaven is contingent upon how close you are to your pastor, you are mistaken.
Oh, yes.
I'm not knocking pastors at all. I am not. But that is not the relationship. Your relationship with God is based on you. So why do we always use the middle person as a means? So you waiting for somebody else to give you the great word of God? I thought you said you had a relationship. If you married to someone, why do you need your child unless you be petty? You sleep in the bed with them every night. If you need somebody else to talk to them, that means you being petty. Hmm. Or is the relationship real?
All right.
Number four and the last one. How does God want us to respond to our troubles? God wants us to trust in him. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to trust in his sovereign purposes for our life. Write down Romans 8:28. And it says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Y'all got to catch that one. Listen to this, Mr. DJ. Listen to this. Turbulence does not always mean trouble. Turbulence does not always mean trouble. For the good of those love God. But it says, and are called according. So it ain't just you just loving God. You got to be called according to his purpose. In other words, to be called for the purpose of God will be exemplified in the way you walk. In other words, the path that you choose. In other words, you following God and not laying out your own blueprints. These troubles ain't hard. You just have to know how to handle troubles when they come. Yeah, let us go ahead and pray. Miss Candy, please.
Father, we thank you for this message tonight, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us clarity, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for every answer that you provided, Lord. We thank you for the questions. We thank you for just allowing us to move further and further in our relationship with you, Lord. And we pray right now, Lord, that as we exit this call, that this call and the contents that you gave us, Lord, does not exit from our mind, but that we apply it to our lives, living it out day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, y'all Amen. Have a great night. Now, listen, y'all, let's do this. Next week, we're on every Monday at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, I got the crew down there that y'all know, Mr. DJ, Miss Tiana, Miss Candy Hand, all that. So we're going to be on next week at the same time. I challenge everyone, okay? Make sure you share this. If the word is good for you, it's good for others, okay? We speak in the word of God, but from a, I'm talking about it's so layman terms. Y'all know what layman mean?
Huh? Yes, sir.
It's every day. All right? But it's strictly the word of God. So make sure you share it. And not only make sure you share it, don't just go through the motion of sharing. Make sure you actually recruit some people to indulge in his word, because this is an open floor discussion. And we just giving open floor answers. I'm talking about answers that come from the Word of God. This is not opinionated. This is strictly found in the Word of God. We love y'all, and y'all have a great night. How about that? We'll see y'all next week on Monday. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.